Well, good morning again. Let me ask you this. Can you imagine what your life would be like if you were at peace with God, if you were at peace with yourself, and at peace with others? I mean, that is a great goal, right? Now, what we've been doing here is the last 2 weeks during the series Peace, we have talked about being at peace with God and being at peace with ourselves. Both of which, okay, to remind you or to let you know if you weren't here, those things are largely a result of God's work. You see, peace with him was bought for us. It was bought for us by Christ, his son, amen? He, Christ, who was the plan from the beginning to send to earth only to die a criminal's death, though he himself, he had no sin. But God and the Son willingly did this so that we can be forgiven of sin, which allows us, to be at peace with God, okay? Or to say it another way, to have a clean slate before God. God did that. It was his work. It was his sacrifice out of love that we just need to accept. And then we can be at peace with God. That's just the fact. That should drive our feelings, okay? Not the other way around. And so then when it comes to having with peace with ourselves, forgiving ourselves, in other words, the ability to do that and to be at peace with ourselves is really a continuation of God's work through Christ. Because there is now what? What did Jake walk us through last week? There is now no condemnation. No condemnation. Romans 8:1, for those of us who are in Christ. Meaning those of us who have received forgiveness for any sin, for any wrongdoing before God through Christ's payment for us. And so if we have been forgiven by him, let's forgive ourselves. End of story, okay? And let's stop living as if we are supposed to be perfect and that we are to perfectly obey the law because we can't. Growing, yes. Changing, yes. Increasingly surrendering areas of our lives to God's ways, yes, yes, and yes. But not keeping the law to earn his grace or to feel good about ourselves. Because I'll tell you what, I'm 50, it's a losing battle, okay? It is a losing battle. But to become more as we prepare for heaven, like Christ, and to grow, yes. And I say all that to say this, don't let Satan, do not let him keep holding you back, condemning yourself. Like, that is Satan's goal, okay? But when God says it is finished, it is. It's finished. So your sins, past, present, and future, are forgiven. So move forward. Move forward and be on mission with him. So that's the last 2 weeks in a super quick nutshell, which leads us to today, okay? And today we kind of get to the point where more of this whole peace thing depends on us. Meaning we can cooperate with it, we can pursue it, or we can ignore it, or we can fight it. In other words, when it comes to the verse from Romans 12:18, which was the catalyst for this whole series, which says this, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Today, church, we really start to understand how we, okay, from the foundation of having peace with God and this peace with ourselves, we move now to how can we do all that we can to live as God calls us, to be at peace with others. In other words, our skin in the game a little bit, okay? And if we are honest, okay, if we're honest, we know, you know, okay, that it takes effort to maintain peaceful relationships, doesn't it? With other people, even within the church. I mean, do you know how easy ministry would be without people? Can you imagine how easy your job may be without people, your family may be without people, or even your daily existence may be without people? But obviously, that is not practical. That is not reality. And also, like it or not, okay? Like it or not, God designed us for this thing called community. To live in community, as frustrating as one another may be. You see, relationships, they can be one of the most beautiful things. They can be one of the most God-like things in this life. One, because God exists as what? He exists as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, in perfect relationship with himself. And then in the beginning, God had a perfect relationship with humanity. And humanity, Adam and Eve, with one another, until what? Until the tempter, until Satan came. And Adam and Eve, they took the bait, creating conflict between they and God and creating conflict between themselves. So church, the more and more we can cooperate with God and work to get back to the garden, okay, before sin, the more blessed, the more fulfilling, the more meaningful our very lives will be. And then Jesus, he modeled for us the importance of community. He modeled for us the importance of relationship by doing what? He spent 3 years living in community with the 12 men who would carry on his ministry after he returned to heaven. So church, the point is God designed us to live in community for our own benefit, for the benefit of others, and for the advancement of the very kingdom of God on earth. I say all that to say this. If we can really figure out this peace with one another thing, we are stronger together. And we will be stronger individually. And thus will be the kingdom of God on this earth. Because I'm telling you what, to have others to help us, others to encourage us, others to comfort us, others to teach us, others to even challenge us at times. And for us to do so to others, that is good. That is good stuff. And one more thing, people who do not love or follow Jesus yet, do you know what? They're watching us. They're watching you. And my goodness, church, my goodness, if we can't get along with each other, and if we can't grow in that together, then why on earth, I ask you, why on earth should they take us and our faith seriously? Why? Why on earth would they perhaps want much to do with him, with God, with Christ, and or the church? So with all that, let's dive in right now, okay? We're going to be in Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 16. And before we read it, I just want to let you know this morning that the sermon style, if you will, it's going to be a little bit different today than maybe normal, because in what we're going to read, Paul is basically rattling off a list of what I like to think of as gauges, I guess, like on the dashboard of your car. 10 of them, 10 qualities which are in regard to healthy relationships. And so as we go through this today and kind of go through that list, I just want to invite you to, like, maybe, you know, think about what one or two things that are growth points for you, okay? And we'll come back to that at the end. But with that, let's read Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 9. It starts with this. Love must be sincere. So here we go, okay? What does sincere love look like? That's what we're looking at today. What is sincere? What does real love look like? Well, according to God, it looks like this, church. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. All right, so let's break this passage down piece by piece, or gauge by gauge, if you will, on the dashboard. And first we have this. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Now, you may say, wait a minute, I thought this sermon was about peace with others. What do the choices that I make in regard to good and evil, What does that have to do with peace with others, Keith? Well, a lot, actually, okay? You see, when you or I, when we make bad choices, when we sin, it drags us down. It drags us down. And what that does, for instance, is it keeps me from bringing my A game. It keeps me from bringing my A game to other people around me. You see, sometimes we falsely believe, we tell ourselves, this private little sin, this little dabbling with evil, it won't hurt anybody else. I'm sorry, but that is wrong. That's just not true. The regret that we tend to feel, the shame that things bring, that are taken out on others often, and that distract us as we battle within, versus being other-focused as Christ calls us to be. And sometimes the consequences, or I guess you could say the results of dabbling with ways other than God's, they add a burden to another. They hinder another. For example, in my life, okay, bearing my soul, in my life, sometimes I don't eat the best. Okay, my wife's in the booth. I have to tell you a lot of times I don't eat the best. But in that, I am not taking care of what Scripture tells me is the temple of God. And I think to myself, well, who does that hurt, really? Who does that hurt? Well, I'll tell you what, if I get sick or if I have a health crisis that my clinging to good or to better ways of living could have prevented or could have delayed, my wife has to journey through that, right, with me, doesn't she? As do my kids, as do others. Now, that is just one example. But there are lots of avenues for evil. And when we take them, it is not loving others, and it is not loving God sincerely. That's just the fact. So the best thing that I can do, the best thing that you can do for those that we love is to follow Jesus. The best thing you and I can do is to obey God. And I'm telling you what, that will increase peace within our relationships. Hate what is evil, church. Cling to what is good. Second, we have this. Be devoted to one another in love. Church, healthy relationships are, I was thinking about it this way, they're kind of like a swimming pool. I have a swimming pool and they need tending. Okay, now I enjoy having a swimming pool, but I'm telling you what, it doesn't clean itself. It doesn't keep itself chlorinated. And I will tell you what, a little attention daily, that goes a long way. Running the filter daily, checking the water quality daily, nipping anything in the bud that's off on it quickly. That is what being devoted to my swimming pool looks like. And I will confess, I spend a fair amount of time, I spend a fair amount of money demonstrating that devotion. And church relationships and being at peace with others, that requires devotion too. It requires devotion. They don't tend themselves. They take time. They take attention. Relationships take conversations. Relationships take time spent together. And when we take that time to cultivate them, they thrive. They thrive more than they would without any of that stuff. So, is there a relationship in your life that needs to be tended? Make a note. Make a mental note. Write that down today. Because at the end of the day, okay, to be at peace with others, we need to be devoted to one another in love. Let's keep moving. Next, God says through Paul this, honor one another above yourselves. Church, if self-interest is your default setting, heeding this word pushes us out of that selfishness, okay? And I don't know about you, but for me, do you know what? My first thought oftentimes is, what do I want? That's my first thought oftentimes. Anyone else in here willing to confess that? Thank you. I'm not the only jerk in the house today, okay? Thank you. But again, that's often my first thought, and apparently some of yours. But do you know? Do you know what my best thought is? Do you know what your best thought could be? It's this. What do they need? What do they want? Now, my parents, praise God for them, they taught me some good manners, things like you hold the door open for someone, you let them come in first. You know, when you're having food and guests over, they get the first serving. You listen. I'm really bad at this one, but they taught me that you should listen without interrupting others. Sometimes I'm bad at that, but I bring that all up because honoring one another really is practicing good manners. It's practicing good manners, and it just leaves others feeling important, feeling noticed, feeling heard, feeling honored. Church, can you imagine if we did that more for one another? Can you imagine if we did that like consistently? Can you imagine if we did that in an intentional and a focused way for one another? Honor one another above yourselves. Next, we have never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Now, how on earth does this one help us to experience peace and health with others in our relationships? Well, for starters, you got to know, when we keep the fire of our relationship with God tended, do you know what that does? It keeps this thing in here in my heart, it keeps it soft. And part of following Jesus is intentionally opening our hearts to God to correct us and to guide us and to shape us. So with that, are the words, hey, you know, I want to apologize for my tone yesterday. Are they something that you can be heard saying quickly when you're in the wrong? Or at least for your part? Because I'm telling you what, we usually have a part in something that's wrong between us and others. So that, is that something that you can be heard saying quickly and regularly or not? I'm just telling you that if we are sticking close to the Lord, if we are sticking close to his teaching, it should be. It should be as our heart softens and becomes more like his heart. And the other thing that a growing relationship with God does is it says a lot without saying a lot. You see, when our kids are growing up, they watch us. But hopefully they see us, and this still applies even if you have adult children, but hopefully they see you and I pursuing the Father. Hopefully they see us pursuing the Father to grow in his likeness. And real quick, an example of this could be perhaps participating in a community group, like the Sermon Discussion Guide group that happens here on Mondays, or the Thursday group at JP's Barbershop, or men's and women's groups. I'm telling you, these are intentional ways to keep your spiritual fervor brewing and to not run the risk of lacking some zeal as you dig into the Word together, as you do life together. And these groups also, they are a great avenue to practice the very passage we are looking at today, to practice it across one another. So if you aren't in a group, consider getting in a group. Our hope is that everyone would be in one. Why? Because it's healthy for you. It's healthy for me. It is a healthy way in our ability to grow and to be at peace ultimately with one another. It's a great place to practice. So never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Next we have this. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. When, okay, when, not if church, but when, because it will. So when hard times come your way, when they come your way, stand tall. Stand tall. Don't pretend to have it all together when you don't, but be honest, but stand tall and hold on to what you believe. Hold on to God, who is your ultimate hope and mine, resulting in a surpassing joy. And when this passage talks about being patient in the midst of affliction, that doesn't just mean be patient with God and be patient for the season to pass, but it also means being patient with those around you in that season. which is more specifically what this passage has to do with our topic today of being at peace with others. One, because I don't know about for you again, man, this is a convicting message. I don't know about for you again, but when I'm under affliction, I'm pretty stressed out. I can get pretty stressed out. And when I'm stressed out, I can tend to lash out, being less than patient with people, even people who aren't related to my affliction. So that's one warning. Be extra careful, church, to be patient with those around you when you're in a hard time. An example for me of this was, and this is a time I failed at it for a time when I was going through a house fire situation. At that time, I worked at Fisher Price, and I was stressed out, okay? God wasn't as important in my life then as he is today. So when I was stressed out, I took it out on my coworkers, those around me. That wasn't right. That just isn't right. So be patient with others, church. Be patient with others that are not directly related to your affliction and when life is dealing you lemons. Don't take it out on the fast food worker, okay? Don't do something like that. And then two, be sure to be patient with those who are trying to walk through this affliction with you. You know, someone maybe like your spouse or someone in your family or maybe a good friend or even, heck, maybe even your pastor. We are all likely trying to do the best that we can do in most cases, so give us a little bit of the benefit of the doubt, okay? For none of us, I'm telling you right now, none of us have like a magic wand to wave over your affliction to make it necessarily go away. But we're there, aren't we? We're there. We are there. We are there doing the best that we can do, though we may not always do it right, right? For we, a spouse, a family member, a friend, a pastor, even a counselor, are all still human, church, just trying to do our best. So be patient with us. And we with them when we're in that situation, when we are under affliction. That is a way, I'm just telling you, that is a way to be at peace with others. So when a loved one hurts, walk through it with them. And when you hurt, let someone else walk through it with you. And let's just all agree that none of us have all the answers, while knowing and trusting God that this too shall pass. God's word says, be joyful in hope, be patient in affliction, and to be faithful in prayer. Okay, so how you doing so far? That's five of them, if you've been counting. I don't know if the Holy Spirit's already like led you to maybe mark down one or two, but let him speak to you and note that down, and we're going to keep moving. But that's five, okay? Are you five for five yet? I know I'm not, okay? Next, to be at peace with others. And for our love to be sincere, God's word says that we must share with the Lord's people. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. You see, if we say that we love the people that we worship with, the people in this room and other Christians, then we need to learn, church, and we need to lean toward an open hand with them. Now, listen to me. We need to do this wisely, for we do not want to be a people that reinforce poor judgment or enable or be taken completely advantage of. But church, listen to me. Since God has been so generous with us, we should love to be, and we should look to be generous with one another. And this is to start amongst God's people, the church, right here in our very campus even. Maybe when a family is in need, and for example, we set up what's called a meal train. And by the way, if you're willing or you like to cook or you're willing to maybe buy a gift card someone to a local restaurant who's coming off a surgery, who maybe had a baby, some life-altering event, there's a sign up in the back if you want to be a part of that to help with a meal train or to make or buy a meal. And that's just a simple example of sharing with the Lord's people in need locally. That's an opportunity to take a step today. And then, of course, we as a church, when you think about Revive, we have ways for you to participate in the sharing with the Lord's people through what you've heard us call Heart Check, our missions, right? Giving and engagement initiatives. So if you're getting involved in that, you are accomplishing this calling, really, to share with the Lord's people who are in need. So let's be a church together. Let's be a church of people who increasingly do this. Now, next, we have the shortest one, but for some of us, it might be the hardest one, the toughest one. Practice hospitality. Practice hospitality. Now, this, and actually several other of these that we've talked about today, but definitely this one, one of our core values as a church. You see, when guests come to our church, as they do weekly, we want them to feel sincerely welcomed. But it even goes beyond that. For we want to have what I call open hearts, right? Open hearts to see and to interact with people that we come into contact with. In other words, we want to take the time to have a sincere interest in others. Again, because why? Because God in Christ, he took a pretty sincere interest in you, didn't he? When he came and went to that cross. So we want to do that before one another. And a tangible way to begin to do that is actually during what we did earlier, our greet neighbor time. You know, being hospitable, saying hi to people. Or maybe for you, maybe it's coming in a little bit early and mingling, having some snacks and coffee, or staying a little bit later and doing that. Now, we're going to be talking a lot more about hospitality this fall as we do a series on our core values. But let's start today, okay, to practice hospitality. Next, we have this, Romans 12:14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Now, we're going to talk about this in some greater detail next week, but let me just say this. You or I, we can't have healthy relationships when our heart is trapped in bitterness. Now, keeping a heart free from bitterness, I'm going to tell you, it's hard. It's so hard, in fact, that we absolutely cannot do it apart from God's help. But here is the good news. God wants to set our hearts free. He wants to set our hearts free from bitterness, and he empowers us to do so. And a way he empowers us to do so is even just the realization of his very level of surrender by Christ, of his own bitterness toward us for sin. And I say that to say this, if he can do that, if he did that for us, by golly, we can do it for others. We can. As his heart becomes more our heart and infiltrates our heart. So to be at peace with others and really with yourself and really with God, bless those who persecute you. Bless, says God's word, and do not curse. You'll feel better in the morning. Trust me, you'll feel better. All right, moving on, almost done. God says this through Paul, and this is a beautiful picture of community, by the way. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Church, one of the benefits of having a heart set free is the ability to be empathetic, the ability to understand, the ability to share the feelings of another. And in fact, one of the signs that our hearts are not free is a lack of empathy. And then some of us, I know I've been guilty of this, sadly, and so have you because you're human, but some of us get those feelings that creep in where we take delight in the suffering of another person. We've all been there. And I'm telling you, if we run with that to any extent, that means that our hearts are not as free to love God and to love others as they are intended to be and as they should be, according to God's word. We need to surrender those hearts to God. We need to ask God to work on them. We need to let our God work on them and take some steps of faith. So church, a part of being at peace with other believers and building a life of peace with others is that when they rejoice, we want to be there with them. And when they mourn, we want to be there with them too, standing in that moment with them. And by the way, if you can be that kind of person, I'm just telling you, you are the kind of person that others want to be around because you bring life and not death. You bring light and not darkness. Church, rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. And real quick, to me, in harmony indicates something. That indicates that we are sensitive to where the person is at on this rejoicing and mourning continuum. Being students of them, in other words, and meeting and living with them there in that moment to bring maybe a little bit of a different or a fresh perspective to that situation and filling it out, filling out the situation. Because when you think about it in music, that's what harmony is, isn't it? It fills it out and it is beautiful. It is a beautiful thing. Church, life can be beautiful. Church, our relationships can be more beautiful as we obey Paul's teaching here in Romans 12. All right, last one, last instruction here from God through Paul. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of a lower position. Do not be conceited. In other words, layman's terms, don't get a big head. Don't get a big head. Don't walk by someone who's doing a job that you maybe consider lesser than with your head like up in the air or something like that. Because I'll tell you what, they are people too, just as you are. They are people and Jesus loves them just as much as he loves you. And they have a family and they have a story and they have a dream just like you do. Besides, you know what? You have no idea who a stranger is. No idea. For the person dressed in old clothes or something could have 10 times more money, wisdom, or experience than you or I do. Don't be fooled. And don't just like judge people who maybe partake in something like, I don't know, the food pantry through our trading post or something. And just because you see them driving up with a nice vehicle, don't judge that. You don't know the story. I don't know the story. We are called to love and to share. And I'll tell you what, in over 50 years of life on this planet, I've discovered something. I've discovered that my snap judgments of people are wrong many of the times. Now, I need to listen to them, okay? I do need to listen to them, my senses of assessment or judgment, and so do you, because our experience is a gift, okay? It is a gift that allows us to do that. But I need to test them. I need to openly test those judgments, meaning being willing to say that they're wrong. I need to be open to that. My initial judgment or assessment, whatever you want to call it, I need to be able to admit that was wrong. I need to investigate it. I need to be willing to test it and accept that I was wrong. And so do you. We are God's people. We need to do that. So don't get the big head, okay? Stay humble. Be simple. Smile, okay? Treat others, all others, with kindness. Treat others with respect, just like Jesus did, just like Jesus taught. Don't be proud, God's word says, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So that's our list. That's our list this morning. And now is really the moment of truth, okay? So what I'm going to do right now is I'm just going to like open in prayer for God to speak to us. And then our media team, they're just going to slowly scroll through one by one these 10. And I'm going to pray and you're going to be open to see where the Lord may lead you and I to one or two things in your own personal life that are just growth points for you. As you invest in relationships, as you cooperate with God, to be at peace with others, to do all we can do, in other words, Romans 12, to do all we can do as far as it depends on us, as God calls us to be at this thing called peace with others. So let me pray, and then she's going to scroll through them. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your clear direction. Oftentimes we say things like, God, what's your will for me? What's your will for me in this life? Well, our will is to share you with others, to share Christ with others, and to do that with others, we need to be at peace with them. And in this part of Scripture, this list, these set of gauges that Paul gives to us through the inspiration of God, They're just practical ways that we can look at these things and say, God, how is my gauge on this one? And then from there, we ask the Holy Spirit to help us with it. So Lord, over these next minute or two, as we scroll through these 10, I'm just praying that you would speak to me and you would speak to your people in this room to just point out one or two that maybe are just growth points for us. And I pray that we will remember that beyond this day. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.